This is Spectrum Mamas Podcast. We are Melissa and Serena, autism mamas from the Bay, bringing real and important discussions in a safe space with no judgment. Welcome to our journey. Thank you for listening. Please be patient with us as we are new to the podcasting world and live in separate cities. Our aim is for impact and not audio perfection. Thank you.
Hi, everybody. I'm Melissa. I have a four-year-old son. His name is Aubrey. We had him diagnosed, I believe, when he was around little, maybe like 1.5. And yeah, it's been a journey ever since then. And I feel like I've learned so much just in the like 3 years that it's been. And I would love to share more of what I've learned to other moms, so that I can help you guys, because I know what it's like to go through that process and feel so lost. And
I
really want to show other moms that, you know, you can still have a really fun and exciting life through all the chaos that comes with being a special needs parent. And so that's why I feel like it was so cool to meet Serena and get to know her, because I feel like she has a very similar like vibe and approach to life. And so, yeah, this is where we're at with it.
Yeah, met through a mutual friend through Instagram. And I've only officially met Melissa one time in person. But it's just, yeah, I trip out on how similar we are, how similar our kids are. Melissa's son is 4. Mine, Zeke, is about to be 11 years old. So we also liked that we're kind of in different areas,
yeah,
geared towards the moms or families with newer diagnosed kids, because typically that's around the age they're diagnosed, like 2 to 4 years old. And then I'm a little bit an OG in the autism game with an almost 11-year-old. But even being in this journey this long, there's still days where I struggle as much as the day he was diagnosed, if that makes sense. So, but I think it's good that we have, you know, kids that are different ages, but still kind of have the same, kind of the same challenges too.
Right.
So I will talk a little bit. Zeke, Ezekiel is my son. He is going to be 11 in a couple weeks. He was diagnosed around, I think that's a little bit hard too, because I was going to ask you, Melissa, did you have concerns? Were there signs? Like, if you want to share just how, like, what got you to that, you know, to that point?
Yeah. No, I actually get asked this question a lot, so I'm happy to share. I feel like it was kind of a mom instinct, to be honest. I feel like when I had him, like literally when I had him, there was just signs that I knew he was different and I knew he was unique. And, you know, as we obviously got to know him more and he progressed with age, the idea of it kind of left my mind a little bit, because I was like, oh, you know, he's doing well. He's reaching his milestones and doing this and that. And every checkup was good. And then literally the day after his first birthday, we saw a huge regression. It was almost like he was like wiped. His memory got wiped and he just didn't know anything anymore. And it was at that point where I said, you know what, I need to go take him in to see a doctor and get him evaluated. And that within itself was such a struggle and such a fight, because it's still, I mean, I still hear from other parents that doctors don't tend to diagnose so young, you know, like they just, for whatever reason, they don't want to do it. And so we fought very hard, his dad and I, we fought very hard to find the right doctor who was willing to give us that diagnosis. And finally we did. And now, you know, now we're in therapy and doing all the right steps to get him all the help he needs.
Yeah. Actually happened with Zeke. Like, you know, I was a young mom, so I didn't know what I should be comparing to. Like, I had Zeke when I was 19. I've been around other kids and other babies, but I'm like, I'm not looking for, I didn't know what to look for. You know, I was just like trying to navigate like being a mom in general, you know, and But everything seemed fine. And then around 11 months, he was talking. He would say mama and bye-bye. And he would wave goodbye. And, like, he would look at me and go up, like, to pick him up, you know?
Yeah.
And so he was talking. And so I, like, get a little bit emotional thinking about it because I'm like, I really wish I would have recorded or, like, have videos just to hear his voice again, you know, from that time. Mm-hmm. Around 12 months, it's just, like, overnight, like you said, something happened. Something changed within him. He stopped talking. He would, like, space out. I would call his name and he wouldn't respond. Like, he wouldn't turn his head to look at me anymore. Yeah. So then I started thinking, I'm like, did he lose his hearing? Like, what is happening? You know, and then he started making the sounds that he actually still makes, like the grunting noises. And that kind of the noises replaced the words. So that was super concerning. And then he also didn't walk until he was about 18 months old. So I was thinking more in my head, like he had some type of muscular issue.
Oh, okay.
More than like autism, you know, which was super concerning. But I basically did the same process, took him to a pediatrician. And that's when they told me we most likely think he has autism, but we can't confirm it yet. So, but I do hear that from a bunch of other moms, like the process of getting diagnosed is not easy.
It's not.
I feel like if you, and I always try to tell people, like, if you don't get a good vibe or a good feeling from one doctor, you don't have to stay with that doctor. Like,
exactly.
Go see 10 doctors if you need to. Go to someone who's going to hear you out, and you have to push for it, even though it's hard, because especially when you're young, right? Like, you're not going to sit there and be like, going against a doctor's advice because you feel like, you know, they've had the training, they should know. But that's not true. Like, you have to go with your gut. And if you feel like, you know, you just have to push. And it's hard, you know, for a lot of families and a lot of moms. So, but once they are diagnosed, it is, I don't know if it's a relief. Like, how did you feel? Did you feel relieved? Like, how did you feel once you actually heard them say, like, yes, we believe he has autism?
I think it was for sure a little bit of relief. I mean, you get the initial, like, oh my God, like, this is real. This is really happening. Even though you already, you know, were making the steps to make it happen, it's still kind of like, it just hits you like, wow, this really is my life now. And so I went through that for a minute, but I also was still in like fight or flight, I feel like. And I was like, okay, this is not the end. You know, the whole reason for getting the diagnosis was to just literally have that piece of paper, because I remember I was being told by so many like speech, OT, all the things that you need, they wouldn't see you without that diagnosis, you know?
Yeah.
So to finally have that physical piece of paper, I was like, thank God, like, I can finally give him the help that me personally, I can't give to him, you know?
Yeah.
So it was a mixture for sure of like relief and just fear of, okay, this is so scary and I don't know what to do.
Yeah, just not, I think not knowing, like not really comprehending what it means in full, you know, like for me, I had the same thing. So I kind of felt like, okay, I know, you know, I know he's autistic. I know he has autism. But I didn't really know what that meant. You know, I knew what autism was. I have a couple cousins who are like high functioning. So in my mind, you know, the typical person thinks autism only looks one way. You know, there's the Rain Man, or there's the what's that show? The Good Doctor, where he's like super genius. And I'm not saying like our kids aren't smart, because they're incredibly smart. But I just get annoyed that people have that in their minds that that's how it is for everybody, you know? Exactly. So I kind of had that in my mind, like, oh, like everything's going to be fine. Like, he's going to be able to solve puzzles and he's going to have like this crazy IQ. So I don't think I really knew what was coming. And I don't want to say that like in a negative tone. But I had no idea of the other side of autism, which is like the more severe side, yeah. where they're nonverbal and there's all these behaviors that are tied to autism. Like, I had never heard of that. I never heard of like the fecal smearing or the sleep issues, the digestive issues. Like, I had no idea about all of that.
Exactly.
You Same. Know?
Same.
Yeah. So I feel like I have a hard time coping with the diagnosis still to this day, because there's new behaviors that you don't, like, what is this? Like, you experience it as it comes and you cope in that moment, you exactly. know? And I think that's why when he was first diagnosed, I was just kind of like, not emotionless, but I didn't really, I don't know how to explain it. You know, I was just like, okay, like, and they gave you the little pamphlet, like, what is autism?
Because you kind of do just go into, like, I guess shock is a way to put it. If you just, like, because, you know, no one really tells you or no one ever prepares you when you're pregnant for this being the possibility. Like, obviously, it goes through your mind, like, yeah, you know, anything can happen. But, like, to actually be experiencing it in, like, real time, you know, like, it's just... it's so much. You really don't know how to direct it. And I think that's what's so cool about you and I doing this, you know, is because we have kind of been there, done that in some situations. And so I feel like now we can use this to, like, guide mothers or dads, even, you know, whoever's listening, to kind of have, like, somewhat of a guideline on what they maybe can do.
Yeah. I just think that I compare it that time to now, and I still do feel a lot of those same feelings some days, you know, yeah. like I feel angry, I feel confused, I feel jealous, like, of other kids and other families. I still go through all those things, and I think a lot of people do too, and it's normal, it's natural. I'm learning that it's okay to still feel that. Sometimes I get frustrated with myself of, like, why, you know, it's been so long, I shouldn't be feeling these things anymore. But instead of that, I'm just trying to switch it to, it's okay. Like, it's hard. You didn't know it was going to be this hard until yeah. now, you know? Like, I feel like I didn't start seeing Zeke's, like, really serious autism signs, like, aggression or some of the behaviors that come with autism until he was like 5. So that's around the time where it started to really show.
Yeah.
And so those, I was just going through a lot in general around that time. So I think, like, being a woman first, you know, handling a relationship, handling like regular parenting, and then on top of autism, it's just a lot.
Yeah, you know, for sure.
So I think I don't know how to put in words. Like, I remember going to the official diagnosis. It was like a 6-hour appointment.
Yeah,
that had to be done. I already knew he had autism, but it had to be, like, medically in his file, you know, in order to get all those services and everything. And I remember the doctor at the end, and I was just exhausted. It was such a long day. Zeke was, like, pissed, you know, like, it was just such a long day for both of us. And the doctor, like, sat me down, and she's like, okay, so our findings is that, like, he has autism. And I was like, okay, you know, like, that's, I was just so, okay, you know, like, what do you want me to say to you? And I just remember her looking at me, like, with this such a sad face, and like, she looked like she was about to cry.
Yeah.
And I was looking at her, and I just felt uncomfortable. And she's like, are you okay? Like, and I'm like, yes. You know, like, it was just, I will never forget how uncomfortable of a situation that was, because it's like she was waiting for me to burst into tears or to, like, show any type of other emotion.
Right.
But I think when you already know, it's kind of like, you put on this strong face and you prepare your mind, and you're just like, at least for me, I still feel that way. I still feel like some days I want to cry and I just don't let myself. Like, it's just like this poker face, because we know that, like, we don't have any other choice. Like, we have to wake up and help them and be their mom every single day. So it was just a really awkward interaction with this doctor, because she's like looking at me like if it was her child getting diagnosed. And I get it. Like, I appreciate it. I mean, some people want that. Like, maybe, you know, some moms want to be comforted in that moment. But I just felt like it was really weird. You know, like, should I be sad? Like, what are you preparing me for? You know? So I'll never forget that moment. And I feel like his dad took it. I don't really want to talk too much, to be honest, about Zeke's dad, just because he's not involved in any way. But at that time, he was. And he did not take it well. And it caused issues with us, with Zeke involved. And that just put even more pressure on the situation. And he definitely did not know how to handle it. He didn't understand it. He didn't know how to treat him at that time. So I think I was dealing with that more than my own self.
For sure.
You know?
I feel like a lot of other people experience the same things, because I've been told that a lot along the way too, you know, with people just asking me questions here and there. And it seems like every single parent who's asked me for any type of advice have all, like, that's like the commonality. They all feel like someone in the family, or, you know, the person's dad or whoever, someone always has a hard time accepting it. And it just causes so much, it just makes everything that much more heavy on, you know, the mother, because the mother's the one who I feel like gets hit the hardest sometimes, because everything ultimately comes on us, you know. The child, the child is fine. The child only knows this one way of life. They don't know any different. It's the parents who are, you know, going through it. And so when you don't have the support of your family, it really makes it so much harder. And I wish it was different, and I wish it was more normalized and talked about, so that people don't have to continuously go through that, because it's not a good time. And I did experience that as well too, on Aubrey's dad's side of the family, where they just could not accept, like, I couldn't even say the word autism without it being like, you know, it was just very like awkward vibes. And like, for me, I was like, well, why? I don't know. I just feel like if you struggle saying it and talking about it, then do you have a problem with it as a whole? You know, do you have a problem with him? Like, that's how it felt.
Yeah.
And so it just breaks your heart that much more when people don't feel comfortable talking about it.
Yeah, you're like, I'm gonna talk about it no matter what. This is my child. Like,
exactly.
Yeah, I feel like a lot of people experience that in some capacity. You're right. Mm-hmm. Like, if it's the partner or someone in the family, especially, it's, you know, depends on culture and like age, and like, people are old school, you know, and back then autism wasn't a thing. Like, autistic kids and kids with Down syndrome were put in the same category. Like, they just thought it was all Down syndrome. Mm-hmm. Like, at least we're in the time where, thankfully, there's more resources and it's better recognized. But the people, like, in people's families, they come from that time. Exactly. So they really have no idea what it is. And I can tell, you know, when I bring Zeke out, and I'm sure you can tell too by how people stare, and it's always like older people, and they just like won't stop staring. And it blows my mind that it's because they still don't know. Like, they have no idea what's going on, like what it is. It's not like the younger generation that I have problems with staring. It's all older people. And no, I'm just
true.
Like,
that is so true,
you know. And I'm just like, that's a whole nother topic, but that does play a part of, you know, the diagnosis, because once you know what it is, like, you can tell people, but then they start asking you questions that you don't necessarily even know. Even to this day, they're like, what does he want? Or like, why is he crying? Or what is he doing? Like, what is he feeling? And I'm like, I don't know. Like, you know, I'm his mom and I don't know. So just how you're asking me, I'm going through those questions in my mind also, like, a million times, you know? So it's just, there's just so much that goes into it. But I think what we had talked about was the question going back to now where we are today. If you can, like, sit down yourself from that day or from that time that, like, Aubrey was diagnosed, like, what is a piece of advice or what would you tell yourself, like, if you could go back in time?
That's a good one. Honestly, I feel like if I could do anything different, or I would probably just, I think I would slow down a little bit and relax, you know, because things are going to happen uncontrollably, like, always. It's never going to stop. It's always going to be unpredictable, and it's always, most of the time, going to be out of your control.
Right.
And, you know, stress, anxiety, depression, like, all this stuff is going to pop up, and it's not going to change our situation.
Yeah.
You know, and I just feel like, had I just took a minute to just breathe and just chill out, you know, I feel like I would have been able to handle everything a little bit better.
Yeah.
And I think that's maybe all I would tell other moms too, is to just try to just stop and relax, because there's, some things are just out of your control.
Yeah. And that's, I tell myself that every day still.
Yeah.
And you, it's, know, hard, right? Like, it's so hard. It is a daily thing, because, you know, when you know that you're the only person that's going to fight for your child, that's a lot of pressure. And it's like, I've never been a control freak, but, like, since Zeke has been diagnosed, I want to control everything,
right?
You know, because we want to try to keep them content, keep them safe, but a lot goes into that with therapy, with school. It's just, I tell myself that too every day, and that's a great reminder, is that, you know, you can stress till you can drive yourself crazy, essentially. Like, you can literally overthink to the point where you're in a meltdown. But what is that gonna accomplish? You know, like, all it's gonna do is drain your energy. And you have to focus on the things that are gonna make a difference. And I love what you said about how, like, our kids are good throughout this whole process. They don't even know. Like, I know for a fact that Zeke does not know that he has autism.
Yeah.
He knows that he wakes up and that he's fed a lot. And anything that he wants, he pretty much gets. I try to be disciplinary and not to have him on a spoiled, quote unquote, level.
Yeah.
But basically, Zeke knows in his mind that he's taken care of, you know? Yeah. He knows that when he goes to school, he's safe. Mm-hmm. He knows he has a warm home. Like, I think focusing on those things, even though it's so simple, is important, because our kids are happy. Like, they're happy. They're taken care of. They do go through a lot within themselves, but we're doing the best that we can.
Mm-hmm.
And taking care of another human and ourselves, and, like, working or just financially providing for them. I think just giving ourselves grace. I would say, for me, if I could go back, I would just say, just be nicer to yourself. I'm still working on that today. But at that time, I would just say, you know, just give yourself grace. That's something that I'm really working on right now, is be compassionate towards yourself. Like, if there's a best friend, you know, I feel like we're very similar when we have hard days for each other. I feel like we both tell ourselves, like, the perfect thing to say, you know, like, we know how to comfort other people and people that we care about and our friends and family. But, like, why can't we put that into motion for ourselves and, like, into action? and just like feel that same like amount of relief and comfort when a loved one or a best friend is like, hey, like, it's going to be okay. Like, you're doing the best that you can do. Mm-hmm. And you're an amazing mom. Why can't we say that to ourselves instead of being so freaking critical, you know?
Yeah.
So I think that's what I would tell myself. And just, if I could at that time, just obviously be strong. But that's one of the things that I hate so much, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I know it comes from a good place from people, but I hate when people are like, oh, just be strong. Like, I
yes.
am.
You know? You know what's crazy? The anytime someone tells me that, I literally break down. Like, I cry. And I make it awkward.
Yeah.
I get embarrassing. Because it's like, don't tell me that. You know? And like you said, I know it comes from a great place. And that's sweet and this and that. But I'm just like, I don't have a choice, you know?
Yeah.
So
I think we
can
have like a whole episode on just the things that people have told us because, our icks. And I know people like, be strong, be positive. Like, I get it. Like, that's sweet. But like, we are. Like, it's not something that we choose to be. It's something that from the minute we wake up and the minute we go to sleep, like, we have to be.
Mm-hmm.
Or everything around us is going to crumble. Like, we cannot function.
Right. And the thing is, too, is like, we don't just have to be strong, you know, like people think. Like, it is so much that goes into it. So many emotions that we have to be. And it's just like, you know, that's another thing I want to talk about at some point is just like, there is, it's almost like a full-time job within itself, just being a parent.
It is.
To a special needs child. Yeah. And so it's like, it's so much more than just being strong, you know? So definitely, yeah, I think we'll have to touch on that a little bit so that people really understand it better.
Yeah. I think it will help people understand what we need in those moments instead mm-hmm. of those words. For me, I think just talking and have someone there to listen and yes. not necessarily respond. And even this is like such a huge form of relief and therapy for me. Mm-hmm. And I really hope, like, if what I told you, if one person who chooses to take the time to listen to this and can feel some sort of relief just from listening, I think that's amazing, you know?
Yeah.
And that gives me, it just feels like a huge weight off my shoulder, especially because the typical people in my life usually, or coworkers, they're not going to understand because they don't have children like ours.
Exactly.
You know, so I know when I talk to you, I know you understand. I don't have to explain anything else. I just tell you and I know you understand. And to me, that brings me like a whole other level of comfort that I can't just say to anybody else, you know?
Right. And I think that's so important for if, you know, if you are in this situation and you do have a child with special needs, like getting to know other parents in our situation, it literally like talking to them and reaching out to them, like it feels like a huge hug. I don't know how else to describe it.
Like, that's so cute. Just, it does.
You know, like, because nobody else understands. Like, I can literally text you. I recently did. You know, I was just like, today is so hard. I didn't have to elaborate. I didn't have to get into what he did and this and that. Like, you just know. You know, you know what hard means. And I just feel like, you know, if we can be that for other moms in a way, that would make me so happy because we know what it's like and we know the impact that has.
Right. Well, you're amazing. Don't forget it. I think that's going to wrap up for today.
Yes.
I hope you guys enjoyed listening to our first final episode.
Mm-hmm.
We are totally open to hearing about other things that you want us to talk about, or maybe we'll post some questions. But we're going to be addressing a lot of different topics, mostly mental health related. But anything you guys want to hear from us, definitely let us know. And thank you for listening.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you, Melissa.
Thank you. We'll talk to you guys soon.